The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
Welcome to episode 7 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, a podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Tonight's feature presentation is the 1980 Battle Beyond the Stars. It's a Star Wars ripoff to the nth degree. It was
horrible.
This might be the first unanimously bad, horrible film we've done. So in just a few minutes, Dave's going to start off with the 6-minute synopsis. This is where we take 6 minutes to summarize the movie. After that, we'll take a quick break and come back from the lobby with a choice beverage. And then we'll lead into our discussion of the film. Finally, we will wrap up the evening with our 6-pack rating, where we let you know just how drunk you might have to be to enjoy this film.
Very.
A lot.
Spoiler alert. Very.
All the alcohol.
Yes.
All right. Before we get into that stuff, let's say hi, everybody. Kathleen, hello.
Hi.
And Troy.
Hello.
And Dave, of course.
Hello.
My name is Pete, and we're here to make you suffer.
You must least, suffer, as we least, have suffered.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, that'll be on the stars. There's not much, I don't know. I suppose we just jump right into it, because...
Okay.
Ugh.
Yeah, let's hit that synopsis.
All right. So, Dave, are you ready, sir?
No, I'm not. I'm ready to do this.
Did you foist this movie upon us? Was this your choice?
I had only good intentions when I chose this because I love Star Wars and I knew that this came on the wave of Star Wars. And as I watched it, I was slowly but surely filling with more and more shame and guilt.
It's an appropriate feeling.
Upon unleashing this on the unhappy cast of Good Beer, Bad Movie
Night.
We're
also planning to release this in December, just before the new Star Wars film comes out.
Gotcha.
So there was a secondary thought process to watching one of the ripoffs. If we could have found a good version of the Turkish Star Wars, we could have done that one too. But I couldn't find
Turkish Star Wars.
Oh God, yeah. I couldn't find a good copy of it. At least I did a quick look on YouTube, and I couldn't find one that was worthwhile watching.
Whatever the case, even Turkish Star Wars could probably not be worse than the Star Wars holiday special. I'm just going to try to not think about that one. All right, so I guess I'm doing this with
all right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Your 6-minute synopsis, okay. Dave, whenever you're ready.
My timer is ready to go.
You give me a count.
All right. Okay, Dave, you ready for the 6-minute synopsis?
Ready?
I guess so, yes.
Go.
Okay, a terrible-looking ship with Nancy Thompson's dad, Sador, shows up at a peaceful farming planet. He threatens to kill them all, conquering the people, and his army of Malmori, which, whatever. They're mutants. So this planet is called Akir, and the people are called Akira, and we'll get to that. and so he threatens to destroy the planet with the stellar converter, which apparently turns planets into suns. Awesome, I guess. The people are friendly and accommodating, but completely non-violent. But they have one last warrior named Zed. He is blind and he's old, and he recommends that they hire mercenaries to defend themselves against Sador. I can't remember again anymore. Yeah. And he has his ship. It's actually a battleship, a warship, a fighter ship. But he's blind. He can't fly it. So a young farm boy, John Boy Walton, named Shad, which is a fish, by the way. he volunteers to take Zed's ship, who is named Nell, apparently, and she's kind of a dick.
Yes.
She's just kind of bitchy, and, like, she thinks she's being funny and snippy, but really, I just kind of don't like her. Anyway, Shad takes Nell, the ship, to find mercenaries. They escape Akir and goes to find them. And he goes to the Hephaestus station to find weapons. And he encounters Dr. Hephaestus and his daughter, who apparently repair androids. And his daughter, Nynaela, had never met another person besides her father until this moment. She brings him to her father, Dr. Hephaestus, who tells him, no, your cause is all fucked up. You're screwed. And so you just need to stay here and breed with my daughter.
Also fucked up.
This really right. happened.
Yeah. So anyway, instead of living a life of just quietly being, a breeding stallion, he escapes and inspires Nynaela to come with him and to go, recruit more mercenaries. I just lost my place. Okay. Meantime, Sador receives word that another planet that he's been coercing, has defied him. And so he orders that planet, Umatil, to be destroyed. So at the same time, Shad encounters, is flying around trying to find more mercenaries. And he finds Space Cowboy, whose name is Space Cowboy. And a transport ship being attacked by these jackers, which are trying to, take his cargo. So, Shad, the farm boy, destroys the jackers though he feels conflicted using violence. And, he speaks with Space Cowboy, and he, who is played by George Peppard, what appears to be very drunk George Peppard.
very drunk, very bored.
Yeah. And his ship, the Space Cowboy ship, actually has a Confederate flag in the hull. Space Cowboy is revealed to be a, he's from Earth, and he is an experienced fighter, but he refuses to help, because he's familiar with Sador, and he doesn't want to get involved with it. So while they're speaking, Shad and Space Cowboy, the planet that Sador ordered destroyed, Umatil, is destroyed, and it's revealed that Space Cowboy was actually delivering a shipment of weapons to this planet. So now he has a whole ship full of weapons and nowhere to take them. He offers them to Shad and the Akir, but Shad says, "But we don't know how to use them. You must help us use them." And so he offers to train them. In the meantime, Nynaela encounters a reptilian called Kamen, which is very imaginative, and he was ready to sell her as food of some kind, until he finds out that she is recruiting to fight Sador, and he immediately then switches nope, I will help you to fight this guy because I hate him, and it's not revealed why until later. That's not what I wanted.
Minute 25.
Aw, shit. Where's my... Oh, there it is.
I paused it.
Thank you. There it is. Okay, I got it. Okay. Wait.
Oh, pause again.
Okay, ready.
Zoom.
Okay. Okay, so Shad encounters Nestor, which is a hive mind, who is apparently going to help him out of sheer boredom. So he sends five of his, extensions, his people, to go help the Akir. Okay, but back on Akir, the Mamori guards decide to get rapey with them, and so they abduct a woman, and we find out later during a wedding. Okay, so looking for more help, Shad goes to a city frequented by mercenaries. There he encounters Gelt, an experienced killer, a professional killer, who's troubled by his violent past, with the idea of being able to go to help the Akir in exchange for just a peaceful life. He agrees to help them.
30 seconds.
Okay, while leaving Gelt, Shad encounters another a woman, Saint Exim of the Valkyrie. She follows, tags along, just looking for a way to prove herself in combat. So now we have the seven ships. They land on Akir, and eventually Sador attacks. They repel him, and they again, one by one, get dropped off, and eventually they destroy Sador, and that's the end of it.
3 seconds.
3 seconds left.
I didn't think you were going to make it, dude.
I didn't think I was going to either. I mean, I could have done the short version, which is, this is Seven Samurai, except badly and in space.
Yeah. That's the short
right.
summary of it. Yeah, all the way down to there were seven of them.
Yeah.
Right down to it. Okay.
This guy is obviously a giant film nerd, and he really used his love of film as an inspiration for this.
Sure.
Who?
The director?
Writer?
This is a Roger Corman film.
Yeah.
Except Roger Corman had nothing to do with it, right? I mean, like, it...
Roger Corman produces many, many movies. And
is it really a Roger Corman film?
Yeah.
This is a Roger Corman presentation. And he spent $2 million on this film and made 11. I'm not sure he's ever lost money making a film.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right. Somehow, this pile of turd made $11 million.
Oh, God.
And
it's so bad.
I don't know what this says about me, but I contributed to that. This is one of the first ones that we've watched that I have actually seen. I saw this back in 1984.
In the theater?
No, that would have been 80, but...
On video cassette, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure I rented this, and maybe more than once. But I was young.
You did live in Podunk, Northern Indiana.
I did live in Podunk, Northern Indiana.
There might have only been like 5 videos at the video store.
One of which was... Battle Beyond the Stars. Yeah.
Babysitter's Dead and... Gremlins, maybe?
Gremlins, yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Right?
The Toy, something.
Yeah.
I saw Toy several times.
The Toy, God.
I saw The Toy in the theaters. Richard Pryor?
Yeah. All right. Well, my head hurts. And I am in desperate need for a beverage. I don't know about you guys, but I'm thinking let's go to the lobby.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. To the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
We are back. That's going to be loud.
Sorry, everybody.
All right, so we're going to pass this guy around.
All right.
This is an experimental single hop brew from the Three Floyds Brewery in Muncie, Indiana, just outside of Chicago. This is Floyd Division.
No, hold on.
Not Muncie.
Muncie, Indiana is not just outside of Chicago.
It is Chicago. Oh,
wait. No, it's Muncie. Muncie's south. That's where Ball State is. This is from not Muncie. Where is Three Floyds?
Three Floyds Brew Pub is at Three Floyds Brew Pub, 9750 Indiana Parkway, Munster, Indiana.
Munster. I was close.
You were close.
Fuck off.
Like, I know Muncie. I've never
honestly, if you hadn't said that Muncie was near Chicago, I don't think either of us would have blanched. Yeah. It was just the fact that that's like being like, this is from Dayton up near Cleveland.
Right.
It's like, what? Wait, that's not right.
I knew the brewery was right outside of Chicago. Apparently, Muncie and Munster, or what, Munster?
Munster.
What the hell ever.
Muncie and Munster are two different places?
Welcome to Indiana, where, what was it that Anne said to me? South Bend is in the north, North Salt, or something like, or North something is in the south, and Salt Lick is not what you think it is.
French Lick.
French Lick, that's right. French Lick is not what you think it is. Right. That's I was like, what is happening?
Oh, I want it to be.
So bad. Anyway, this is an experimental single hop from Three Floyds. It doesn't tell me right here as it's handy. It doesn't tell me what hop they're using. But it's telling me it's got tropical notes, honeydew, cedar, and herbs. That sounds all very floofy and hippie. And,
floofy.
It smells delicious.
And I don't give a shit about any of that. I care about what it tastes like. So
it does smell
great. It does smell very good. It's got a nice hop profile. It is soft and fruity.
It is fruity, yeah. Like blueberry-ish.
Yeah,
yum. That's good.
Really good.
That's good. This this guy is at, it's 85 IBUs. Ooh. And 7.5% ABV, so it's a big beer. It's a little hot on my tongue, not terrible, but yeah, it's to be respected.
Did you actually say what it's called? I don't think so.
This is the Floyd Division number 3. They've had, since this is number 3, they've had 2 previous, which I have not had either of them. But I saw it in the store and thought I had to get it. And one of the reasons we're doing Three Floyds today, I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, Spooky Pinball, and my buddy Chuck and Bug Emery up there in Wisconsin had never heard of Three Floyds, and they're just out there. They're about an hour from Chicago, and Chicago from Munster.
Not Muncie.
Is not far from Chicago either, so I was surprised. We hang out at G-Fest every year. And
what is G-Fest?
G-Fest is the yearly Godzilla Festival held in Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah. I got my tickets already, so. Hotel and everything. Anyway.
Nerd.
See, nerd. You know it. Anyway, I was surprised that he had not heard of Three Floyds, since it's a fairly predominant brewery in the area. And it's hard to get out here. We don't get a lot of Three Floyds in Ohio, but we've got a new distributor.
Slowly.
Yeah, it's coming back out.
Oh, yeah, I see some trickling. Six packs in mm-hmm. stores. So
okay. Yeah. So the interest is growing. And
yeah. It wasn't an interest thing. It was a distribution thing about 6 or 7 years ago where there was a falling out between the brewery and whomever was distributing them in Ohio.
Ooh.
And then Three Floyds pulled out of Ohio for several years. And in the last maybe 2-3 years, we've been seeing them back more and more. And it's not hard to find, like, their flagship Alpha King or Gumball Head. I've got some Gumball Head in the fridge, which will be a different change. Gumball's a wheat beer, very nice wheat beer. It'll be a nice change from this.
Super
big
hoppy.
IP. Yeah. I tell you what, it is sticking around because I just after my first sip, I'm still tasting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not dry. That hop hangs on the back of your tongue. And it's yummy. That's a good beer. But this one comes in a bomber because it's a limited release. So typically those are in 22s and it's to be shared. It's not.
Yeah, I was just thinking that this is another one that I wouldn't want to drink that whole bomber. No, that would be way overkill of a good thing, you know?
It would. You're right. It's yum. And then, oh God, I got 22 more ounces.
I think what we're doing right now is probably the perfect way to drink it.
Yeah.
That's part of this. Who doesn't like sharing beer? So anyway, Charlie, I'll make sure to bring some Three Floyds up to G-Fest. And they've mentioned us a couple of times on their podcast.
Oh,
so.
Nice.
Spooky Pinball.
Spooky Pinball.
Yeah. I like this beer. I'm not usually...
I'm surprised because you are not.
Yeah, you're not much of a hophead.
No, I'm not. I don't know. There's something... Even though it leaves that hop taste in your mouth afterwards, it's not attacking. Like, there's something in...
It's not aggressive, maybe?
Yeah. There's something in the way that this one is done that everything else creates such a good, balanced palate that you're not left with that punch in the face of hops after the fact. Yes, you can taste it, but it's not like, oh, I had some liquid and now I'm chewing on a plant. And that's what it normally feels like.
Yeah.
With those, like, super hoppy... beers, that's what it feels like. It's like, oh, I drank some liquid and have a mouthful of weeds now. Yeah. So
somebody crammed a pine cone in your head.
Right. But this is not like that. I like this. I would drink this again.
I would too.
Outstanding. Good to know.
I don't know if I could drink a lot of it, like you said.
No, I would definitely be a part of sharing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that grapefruit, for sure. I like the beer, and okay, full disclosure, I'm pretty hungover already,
Dave.
This is a little bit of a struggle to drink again, but I'm looking on the bright side, and honestly, when there's beer involved, there's generally bright side.
Always.
So you want to talk about this shit of a movie?
Oh my God.
And how bad I feel for choosing it?
Well, it was between this. What was the other one that we were...
I don't know.
...talking about?
Were these decisions made at Shannon's birthday before I joined the conversation?
I know... Dave and I were talking before the last recording, I think. And, and we wanted to do some Star Wars turkey before Star Wars came out.
Right.
Gotcha. Just to kind of piggyback into it. Staying topical, you know?
Yes.
Well done. This is an overcooked, dry, desecrated corpse of a turkey.
Yes. God. This is what's left of the turkey after the dogs attacking
Christmas story.
Christmas story.
What's in the yard.
Oh God, it sucks so bad. This,
yeah,
and we've watched movies that suck, like Hawk the Slayer, also a Corman movie, I believe.
Mm.
He was involved somehow. I think he produced it or something. There was a relationship somewhere. But I mean, that movie's a turd. I didn't hate it. I liked it. But this movie sucked, and I actually dislike it for a couple reasons. Not because it was a cash grab, which it clearly was.
Yeah. Totally.
But it's like, it's just a crass way of how they did that. Because, okay, they adapted Seven Samurai, or Magnificent Seven, what do you want to call it?
Right.
And just slapped a freaking space sticker on it.
Right.
Okay,
it's
fine.
The Fellowship of the Mercenaries.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was thinking of. I was like, oh, look, it's Frodo going off to gather the people to help him fight the coming storm.
Which I actually thought Dave would like, because he's talked in the past about how he likes the gathering of the crew.
And that's in that sense, I do like that, but like they took a really, like, a time-honored, like, historically tested and solid storyline of, like, the ensemble getting together and then defending this little town or whatever.
Right.
And they just did it so poorly. They did it because it was safe. Like, they could just take this storyline, the safe storyline, throw it in space, throw John Boy Walton and Hannibal from the A-Team at it. And then that made me angry. It felt like it was really vulgar.
I think my biggest issue with it was it was boring as hell. Like, every character was so stilted and so, yes, I will. I mean, literally the thing that had the most personality in the movie was the bitchy ship Nell. Like, I was like, what the fuck? The ship has the most personality and it's a shitty one. And then, like, so that was annoying. And then it was like, you understood it was this concept of, like, bringing everybody together. But instead of it, like, in other bringing of all the group together storylines, you have some kind of thread that's interconnected between some of them, where it's like, this guy's literally just out bumping into anybody he bumps into, or I don't know. Like, I just, was like, there was like a 10-minute thing with each person. First, we're going to go get, you know, the doctor, the one that Zed sends him to,
which Dr. Festus.
I wrote down in my notes. I was like, oh my God, he's a Dalek now. Yeah. Like, the dad or whatever. Yeah. And his, yeah. I was in a mood when I wrote this because he looked like a Dalek because he was just a head.
Yeah, welcome. Inside. Look at my innards.
Right, which is literally a fucking Dalek. And like, his head's popped on the top of it. And then right away, he's pimping his kid. Yeah. Like, I was like, the fuck? He's a Dalek pimp?
Pouring
like, I was
his
like,
child
yes.
out.
And not like, oh, she's lonely and it would be nice to have company and marry or something like that. He literally is like, no, you're going to stay here and do her. And I was like, what? And then he's like trying to set up a little bow chick a moment right away. And I was like, what is this movie?
You don't want me to breed with your daughter.
Oh, yeah. Jump straight to conclusion.
Right. Well,
the correct one.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a guess. It was just restating what was happening.
This station was made for many people. I would like you to populate it with my children.
Right.
Grandchildren.
That's not the way you populate a civilization. Not with two people. Right.
So, I didn't like that it was like every time we met somebody, it was like we had to convince them, we had to pitch them the whole reason why they have to come and help. And so it's like a 10-minute interlude each time. And no character was dynamic. No character was interesting. They were all completely just boring. I mean, there's a reason that Hannibal looked bored in the movie.
Because he was.
I swear that George Peppard, George frickin' Barefoot in the Park and Breakfast at Tiffany's, whatever.
Yeah.
I swear that he probably talked to the director or whatever and just worked in, like, you know what? I want to smoke during production. My character smokes now.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. I want to drink too, so my character's going to drink too.
Yeah.
So he's
just going to be real booze.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm going to drink scotch and sodas while we're drinking, while we're filming. And I'm going to smoke cigarettes, and that's just how it is.
Could you at least make it like some advanced drinking? Have a distribution thing on your belt.
Yeah, talk to props. See if they can get something that puts booze out of a belt.
On his belt at his disposal.
Yeah.
At any point in time. And ice.
I would have had
ice on his belt.
He's got an ice maker on his belt. That's right.
And what sucks, like, to reinforce your point, what sucks even more is that all these characters actually had opportunities to become more fleshed out. And they just weren't. Like the Robert Vaughn character, Gelt. Robert Vaughn was in The Magnificent Seven. He played a character, Lee, who was the Gelt character. Like this grizzled sort of career killer who just wanted peace and rest and was troubled by his past.
Okay.
Yeah, so he did. I mean, that was probably the most three-dimensional character of all of them. And I don't feel like Robert Vaughn was phoning it in for this performance, but he has done it before, back in 1960 or whatever it was.
Right.
But then I still
have a lot of dialogue.
No.
He was like the real creepy one that, like, when the ships all started to gather, he was going to hang back.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. I don't like anybody behind me.
in classic Kathleen style, I did not stay awake for this whole movie. So
we had a bet. Dave and Pete both thought that she would last less than a half hour, I think. Mm-hmm. I'd said, oh no, give her 45 minutes. I think she actually made it to an hour's mark, maybe. But
I made it to the Valkyrie.
Yeah.
And that's the one where she wants to join and John Boy thinks she's a pest and tries to get rid of her. Okay, so I saw through that. And then after that point, I was like, because I'd already a couple times looked at Troy and said, this movie is dumb. At that point, I was just like, this movie is dumb. I can feel myself falling asleep. I actively made the decision to close my little notebook and set it on the coffee table and laid down on the couch. And I was like, I'm done. And
Troy was like, drop all pretense of even trying to watch the movie.
Oh, yeah. And Troy was like, well, do you want me to pause it and we'll finish watching it tomorrow? And I said, that's your call, because I'll probably go to sleep then, too. And that's the last thing I remember until he woke me up. And the first thing I said was, did you finish it? Like, I had no idea how much time had passed, because I was done, out. It was like, I can't do it.
Yeah,
I did notice that the ship, and I'm trying to remember now as I'm looking at my notes.
The ship,
I can't remember
Nell?
If it's the Nell ship.
No, it's Nell.
That looks like the hammerhead shark.
No, I'll tell you what it looks like.
It looks like a uterus and fallopian tubes. That's what it looks like.
Oh.
I've got it written down, actually.
That's so...
I pulled it up on my phone before we started recording.
So angry. I didn't think of that.
Sure, this looks like the female reproductive tract. It does.
100% it does.
It looks like...
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
I even looked at it because there were a ton of scenes, and we've seen this before in these type of films where they're trying to pad for timing, where it's like too much time on the model, where it's like we spent a lot of money building this little fake
which were
town,
great
so
models,
we have
by
to
the
spend
way.
A ton of time.
They were terrible.
The ship models were okay, but like there was a lot of time where his uterine model ship was making slow contact with a very long, thin type of ship, and I was like, okay, this, I don't know if this is going by anybody else, but it is not going by me. I can see what they're doing here.
Roger Corman famously has boobies in all of his movies, so he might as well have some sort of
especially because the first time that like they really do this is when he's at first docking with Dr. Dalek, and then he wants to pimp out his kid, and I was like, well, there you go. We just saw a little foreplay with the ships. And
let's assemble
like,
the parts now, okay? Right. So John Boy Walton and his womb ship go to the Dalek man to pimp his kid.
Yes.
Yeah, to be pimped at.
Right.
Yeah.
That's person one.
Yeah, that's person one.
And then she follows
Nabila,
John Boy leaves
yes.
first.
Right.
She follows him much like Sweetums in the Muppet movie.
Yep.
Grabs it. Grabs a suitcase.
Totally.
And starts following. Hey, where's everybody go?
Yeah.
And follows him. And then she gets kidnapped
by
the lizard guy.
By alligator man, Cayman.
Whore her out also.
Yes.
Whore her out. She was going to sell her for food.
Oh, I don't think it was.
It's probably
food.
Both.
The insinuation was he was going
to. Would you like to have sex with this or eat it?
I'll do a little bit of both. I'll start with
coffee.
Selling
coffee.
He specifically said, I'm going to sell you for protein.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
There was that. And then what? We had the clones.
Yes, Nestor
three.
Well, I don't
think the Hive Mind.
They're the most interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, played from the guy from the Terminator.
What?
Yeah. The Nestor, the main Nestor was the Hive Mind, and
right,
he was actually one consciousness in five people, or actually 100,000 people. The first guy, he's the one of the cops or the psychologist in the Terminator.
Oh God!
In Terminator 2, he's the one who got stabbed in the in the neck with the syringe, full of Drano or whatever it was. Like, I'll pump him full of this shit. I swear, it was him.
Oh, wow.
Didn't recognize him.
Yep, nope.
I was curious about him. I was curious about the entire cast, so I looked them all up.
So that was three. Who was four?
The fourth one. Okay, so
Space Cowboy
was the first one. Yes,
yeah,
Space George Cowboy, whose name was Space Cowboy.
It was Space Cowboy.
Okay, like I feel like
talking about Earth. Shut the fuck up. No one cares.
And all the westerns,
right?
I couldn't figure out: has he been to Earth, or is he of Earth descent but born off world, and so everything he knows is from watching old westerns.
I am Earth. Oh, no, I'm a Martian of Earth descent.
There's no real background.
Right.
He's supposed to be from Earth.
That's what I got.
Well, because...
He was a cowboy hat and...
My favorite Space Cowboy moment is as... Like, he's been hanging back the whole battle with Sator.
Sator, yeah.
And he finally decides to join it. I don't remember why. He's just like, I should probably get up there. So he goes up, shoots down two of, the little dudes, and he yells... Sator, you son of a bitch! Here I come! This is Space Cowboy from the planet Earth! That's his speech. He says that. And then he gets blown up.
Not exactly the St. Crispin's Day speech from Henry V.
He's no president on from Independence Day.
Right? Yeah.
No Bill Pullman there.
So that was four...
Okay, so we got...
And then the Valkyrie.
Yes,
Saint Exum. She was like seven, though. She was the seventh one to join.
Well, because Gelt.
No, Gelt, yes.
Gelt was there. Gelt. Who was there was one more.
Yeah, the Kamen. Well, no, we were talking about Kamen.
We talked about Kamen. Was there only six?
No, that's... Space Cowboy, Nestor, Kamen, Gelt, and then the Valkyrie...
The original girl.
Nanila, the one she was supposed to be a brood mare for her husband, her father, whatever. And then Shad.
And Shad.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Shad, yeah. John Boy Walton.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. So Shad rounds it out. I got it.
Shad was a weird name, too.
It's a fish.
Okay.
That's the first thing I thought.
So, you've got all these characters that had an opportunity to be interesting, and none of them had any charisma. None of them were charming.
No.
They were all plastic.
Yeah.
Action
they
figures.
They didn't have any kind
walking
of
through. It was
dialogue that was interesting. One of the lines I wrote down was between, so the bad guy.
Sator,
his minions had fucked up faces.
Yeah, they're mutants. Malmori,
of some kind,
what they're called.
Where it looked like they had a cut from the top left side of their forehead, down across.
Yeah, it looks like somebody melted half their head.
The face and the rest of the face is mushed over or whatever. But there was a conversation between two of them who had been left behind to keep an eye on.
Yeah, guard the planet.
The planet.
Akir.
And and then Shad's little ship takes off and they start to take off after him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this conversation about, should we keep going or should we stay back here? Mm-hmm. And the one of them says, remember Aldo? He disobeyed, and now Adar is wearing his left foot. I was like, but it's that kind of, where was that type of any kind of lines from anybody else?
Well, here's a, this is.
Of course, maybe it all came after I went to
you
sleep.
You fell asleep. And this is one of those things that,
part.
It could have been an interesting part of the movie. It turned out to be nothing interesting about it. But, apparently, Sator takes pieces and parts from other people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because
he took the arm of one of the Nestor guys.
Uh-huh. And I tried to adhere it to himself. Yeah,
and
his right arm.
To himself. And they did that just so that the Nestor, hive mind, could take control of the arm and try to cut his arm off.
Oh, he Borged him.
Right. Yeah, kind
of. Yeah.
And and so he's like, take it off! And he's holding a knife to his own throat, and they cut off his arm. But was so inconsequential. And you're kind of but they come back and they're it did not work. And they're oh no. It's was that the big plan? Have you been planning that this whole time?
Yeah, that's the worst assassination-style plan since Jabba's palace in Return of the Jedi.
Hopefully you'll get captured, and then when they take you, hopefully they'll cut your arm off and put it on Sator. That's what we're hoping was going to happen.
So never maybe expect it.
But maybe he takes pieces and parts of his...
Well, he must.
Well, no, that's actually, I think, his thing. Like, Sator, whatever the fuck his name is. He puts parts of other people on himself to keep alive. Like, he just replaces parts.
Did they bring that up?
Nope. Never. Okay, that's until what I thought. Until that arm was... Right. That arm was slapped
and then
on
you're
him.
Like, I guess that's what happened.
Yeah, he just switches out parts. So,
none
like,
of the
apparently
characters had any fleshing out. There was no backstory to anybody. We didn't need a longer film, that's for sure.
There was a... Like, I think it was a YouTube video that was talking about, like, a good plot. And, like, a good plot doesn't... Says, this happens, but... Then this happens because of what just happened. Thus, that makes this happen. So, like, it logically moves you through it, but it's not just this happens, and then this happens, and then this, and that's what this movie is. And then he meets this ship out of nowhere that flies by. Space is very crowded in this movie.
No joke.
Yeah. There's a ton of ships that just randomly show up, and it's like, oh, there's a ship. Let's ask them if they want to help me defeat Sator.
And that's one of those things that just added to the anger that I felt. Like, this is all really just slapped together.
Oh, man.
And, yeah. Like, no real thought was put into it. All they thought was, like, okay, space is selling. Let's sell space.
Right.
Part of the fun of Star Wars is when there are space battles, mm-hmm. there is communication between the ships. People. Yeah. There's rarely, on the original Star Wars, the attack of the Death Star, we're red 5, yellow 6, whatever. we're talking. There's yellow all 6. Sorts of chit-chatter going on all the communication channels. People sat there in their chairs and stared.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And maybe wiggled their hands on some controls and shit blew up.
Yeah.
There was no, look out, you got somebody on your 6. Make sure you power up your blur, blur, blur. Oh, yeah. No, we're going to get, they're in position to.
There's nothing worse than an unpowered up blur, blur, blur.
Blur, blur. But there
bad.
Was nothing. There was explosions and sound effects and no dialogue.
And no sense of where anything is either. Like, there's a ship that's shooting off to the right hand of the side of the screen. Mm-hmm. Then there's an explosion. What did it just shoot?
It is shooting off to the right, and then on the cut to the ship being shot at, and it's getting shot at by little laser bolts to the left.
Yeah. Right.
Like, way to go, David Lean. This is pretty awesome. Way to good camera work.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry.
So, because this is where I was starting to, like, fall apart. When they met the guy who had to be in the back.
These characters are real memorable.
Gild, or whatever his name is. So he was on some weird, like, rocky planet ship thing.
Yeah.
And he was, like, hiding because he's, like, this number one badass. So he's been, like, stealing things from people, and he's like basically.
He's wanted on all.
Right. Yeah. He's known Smog planets. Laying on his pile of gold.
Yeah, sitting
there,
on a throne.
Like, sitting on the throne. But to get to him, he went through that weird space where there was like the weird dial-a-date.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the fuck was that?
I don't know what they
and
were trying to do.
What was
there.
That like? Was he on a. Like, did he land on a planet?
I think.
Yes.
I think I dozed for a sec before I actually finally gave up.
I think
but
this used to be like the Las Vegas of. That's smugglers and assassins.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. Because
when John Boy went to find him, that's... I'm
but
sorry.
But was he actually looking for him?
Yes.
Okay.
He was specifically
he was
looking,
for, looking some,
for him
he was
on
looking
the
for
planet
somebody.
Of... Like, the most icy planet is what... is yeah. kind of what I got the impression.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this whole planet was supposed to be full of brigands and dragons and...
A wretched hive of scunability.
Bingo.
Gotcha. Okay.
Thank you. It was there and it wasn't there.
Okay. And so the only one left was...
I don't know why he was the only one left, but he was the only one left.
He gave a little speech about why he was the only one left.
Yeah, well, they cleared it. Like, apparently,
they
like they cleared out all the scum and villainy, and he came back.
Gotcha. Okay.
They meaning, I guess, people who I don't know. You know what? Who cares?
Well, I was just trying to figure out.
Yeah, John Boy knew how to work a peep show. That's for sure.
Yeah, he did.
He put a quarter in straight away. Like, hey, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, it's a desiccated like. Zombie
yes.
stripper.
Right,
oh,
right.
No.
Mm. Oh, yeah, and I mentioned it was a blue light district instead of red, because all the blue in this movie. Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
So much blue.
Yes.
On
yes.
a black background, it gets really tiresome after and a while. And
I even wrote down that the Nestor people gave John Boy Romulan ale. Because they gave him blue.
Yeah.
Right.
Drank when he first got there.
Forgot about that.
So, I
quickly forgot about every character as soon as they were off screen.
Yeah.
Except for St. X-Men.
St. X-Men? Oh, no. I definitely remember her or them.
I remember them.
Yeah. She, anyway, yes. Boobs. We're talking about boobs, by the way.
This is the scantily clad. See, I fell asleep
before the boobs.
Oh.
I mean, like, you didn't see any. She just had barely anything on, you know? She was
Well, I was having a hard time depicting her from her ship. Like, when she was first sitting in that ship because of the way she sat.
What a weird camera angle that was.
Yeah.
I mean, she was looking down, kind of like you're in a Lazy Boy or something.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, I didn't even understand where the person was, because the outfit she had on was the same color as the ship.
Couldn't see over her boobs.
I couldn't see what the hell was happening. And then I think that's when I was just like, I can't even depict the person from the prop. I'm done.
Yeah. I loved the scene where she shows up and, like zips around Shad and like fake blows up his ship with like a light blinky light that's like, haha, you would have been dead.
Yeah,
can I join your thing? And he's out looking for mercenaries, just got fake blown up, and he's like, get away, you pest. I mean, like, is this sexism in the
like you're some big badass? That made no sense at all. And he dismisses her several times,
right.
Before inexplicably, all of a sudden, she's on the planet with everybody else.
Yeah,
I don't know how that happened.
She just didn't give up.
Thing is, I remember this scene from Seven Samurai, and I knew what they were doing. Like, it was actually just a young samurai trying to prove himself, and he tags along. And in the movie, in the Seven Samurai, like, he sort of gravitates toward the grizzled veteran character because that he's been many duels. He's a master swordsman and all that stuff. And no, none of that here. It's just like, oh, hey, there's this woman wearing a metal bikini flying a Barca lounger around. And then just appears out of nowhere and just does nothing but show boobs.
Right. I don't know if she felt the metal bikini needed to be next to the Luke Skywalker type person, like, to try to pull those two together because the big reveal hadn't been done yet. I don't know.
There was a reveal?
She is the one that destroys the solar manipulator, whatever that thing
is. Oh, yeah, the solar converter?
Yeah, I got it right now.
The stellar converter.
Stellar converter.
The stellar converter.
That makes sense.
Yeah, see, okay, I feel like these... stellar converter, space cowboy, the Valkyrie... I feel like these were just script notes that somebody put together and nobody bothered to rename them.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have a character like a space cowboy. Like, what are we going to call him? Space cowboy, I guess.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, that's great. This is art. There we go.
You son of a bitch. I'm coming for you. It's space cowboy from the planet Earth.
$2 million. What did they spend $2 million?
It was on? George Pappard and
Robert Vaughn's
salary.
$2 million.
That was I think that was half of the budget was their salaries. At least that's what the IMDb said. It was
The Waltons was already over.
Yeah.
I mean,
quite a bit.
I mean, it was a syndication. It was. I think the Waltons was like early 70s, early to mid 70s.
I think it was over by the 80s. I would think.
Really?
I think so. There might have been some. Well, there were some reunion ones.
Really young.
Yeah.
In this, like, he looked younger to me in this than I remember him looking in the Waltons.
Didn't watch the Waltons.
Well, I didn't watch it a ton, but I did have grandparents in the 80s, so.
Good night, John Boy. I kept saying that to myself. Like, good night, John Boy.
I couldn't get over his mom.
I thought it would end the movie.
I thought it was funny that we were watching this movie with John Boy in it after our conversation about the 80s It
last
time, because he's in that as well. And I was like, if this is punishment for me saying I like that movie, I'm never telling them I like anything again. Like, I was just like,
Like, I'm sorry, I have paid. Please stop this.
I still can't get over his mole.
It was pretty distracting.
His whole life.
It's like a beacon.
I know.
It's guy's drawn right to it.
Mole.
But the space cowboy and the name of the planet, Akir.
Uh-huh.
And the people were called Akira. And an obvious reference to Akira Kurosawa, who directed
Seven Samurai.
Seven Samurai. Yeah. And you actually, Pete, said earlier, well, we don't want this movie to be longer. If we want to give a shit about any of these characters, it has to be longer. Because, I mean, look, Seven Samurai is like 5 hours long.
Or you can have some of them all together at once, like already paired up. Like the Valkyrie chick could already be hanging out with
Cowboy.
Yeah, right. Cowboy. Or
she could have already been tagging along with the Gelt killer character. And so that would make sense. But like to do that would require writing, and they obviously didn't want to do that.
You guys are right. The Waltons were over in 1981.
The whole time I was trying to figure out what 10-year-old wrote this script. Because that's the way this comes out. Is that there's a...
They're playing with the Star Wars characters. And...
And it's no more sophisticated than that. And Space Cowboy
comes over.
Exactly.
Because you got a Brave Star action figure over here.
Right.
Mixing with the Luke Skywalker action
Brave
figure
Star,
over here.
Brave Star. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And his horse 3030.
And here comes She-Ra. Flying off.
Truly. Oh, it's and the Hordak. It's all the toys you had in your chest and just pulled out random.
Thank God this is not how Toy Story actually turned out.
The potential was there. Oh, God. So, like, yeah, anyway, I could have forgiven this movie if it was just a little bit more, a little less vulgar of a ripoff.
Yeah, I did write down Star Wars ripoff, which I didn't know that's what we were getting into because I was not present for the decision that we would watch this because of what was coming up. So I didn't know. And then as I'm getting into it, I was like, do they know?
Yeah. I wrote
the thoughts I have going into these movies blind about what the fuck you guys are making me watch these movies is... Like, I'm always like, do they know that this is Star Wars? Like, okay.
It starts with big shit going by, just like Star Wars. Yeah. Stellar Converter can blow up a planet, just like Star Wars.
Or turn it into a sun, apparently.
Yeah, weird.
Well, at least it's useful.
Had this been an actual attempt at making a good movie with more character development and, you know, stronger direction, I guess, this would have been watchable.
Seven Space Samurais?
Yeah, sure. Seven Jedi. Something, I don't know.
There was no magic or anything in it. It was all very...
Yeah, it was all very science fiction. There was nothing...
There was no science fantasy. There was no...
No, there was nothing
magic
mystical.
Powers, nothing mystical. To it which at is all. Another part of the charm of Star Wars. That's why it was
not a lot of plot.
But, I mean, Star Wars is also... like I see... Okay, it's like Star Wars is also a historically time-tested and proven strong story. It's like... It's the young... You know, sort of innocent farm boy is thrust into this big world and this big conflict, you know, guided by an old sage or a wizard or something like that, and defeats this evil sorcerer as told by two idiots, you know, like to the droids. Mm-hmm. I mean, that story is over and over and over again. You find it in opera, you find it in like old mythology, whatever. And this, I think that's what they tried to do. They tried to take the Seven Samurai story and like, okay, well, you know, that's solid. We'll just, you know, do what they did. But they failed to realize what made Star Wars awesome, and they missed all those marks.
Right.
And instead, we get this.
I don't think...
Which is just great.
I don't think in Roger Corman's eyes he failed, because
he made
$9 million
bucks. I mean, he was... Yeah.
There you go. He's like, hey, suckers. No,
Roger Corman makes money. Like he makes deals. Like he will make money off stuff. Like, does he consider it a failure? No, because it made money.
Right.
So it was not a financial failure.
That's all he cares about.
Well, that's I mean, that's his number one goal. His business is
right.
Then
my business
who
is
cares?
To make money.
Right.
I don't know that he really cares about contributing to culture by producing a good product. He just
clearly not. You watched this movie, right?
Yes. And I definitely felt like I wanted to claw my eyes out.
What are other movies that he's done?
Probably in my opinion, his best film he's ever done is Piranha. That was a great. It was a Jaws ripoff. But it was really well done.
Are all of his movies some kind of ripoff?
No.
Oh, okay.
He did a bunch of...
He did Fantastic Four, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Wait, which one?
The one that's never been released.
It didn't even get released.
Didn't
it was so
even
bad.
Get... Yeah.
I mean, he's done
I've
stuff.
I've seen it. It's really bad.
Like, he produced or directed a bunch of Vincent Price movies, like Mask of the Red Death.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, he's done stuff. I mean, he's contributed stuff, but he's also, I think, more interested in making a deal and... turning a profit than he is making good stuff.
He was pivotal in the, what was that era called? When the Filipino exploitation films.
Filipino exploitation?
Yeah. Movies? Oh, I think he did. No, maybe not.
I did not realize that there was an era in cinema.
Yeah, with the Birdcage, or like the women in prison films. Was it Filipino? I'm drawing a blank, and I don't want to say anymore because I'm gonna fuck it all up. But there was a time when, like, there was an Australian explosion of exploitation films, and this was in the Philippines somewhere, and it was all jungle films.
Like Apocalypse Now films. And
Apocalypse Now. Okay, is a that was in the Philippines.
Yeah,
that was a super low budget film that wasn't done with Roger Corman, but right. He was integral in bringing people over there because he was such a cheap tight ass. Okay. That hey, where's cheap to go blow shit up where they don't care about insurance or blowing shit up.
Union right. Equity, right. All that kind of stuff. Right.
Okay. So and he's done a lot recently too. There's just. He turns and burns. He produces.
Yeah, I think he produces.
So it's like he kind of almost functions under the old studio, like when the old studio format, where they would have like actors under contract, and you just constantly were making a movie. Instead of having the actors under contract, he's cycling in the people mm-hmm. because the people finally stood up and went, this fucking sucks, we're not doing this anymore. But he's still just constantly making. And quality
being
never, he's never looking for that big Oscar winner that's going to bring him in a bunch of money.
No.
Or that, you know, thing that's going to give him awards or whatever. He's going... quantity over quality.
If I remember right, though, he's had a couple of, I think, was it Scorsese that directed films under him as well?
Yes,
Cameron,
he's responsible for
James
quite a few.
James Cameron?
Yeah.
Quite a few.
James Cameron was actually, I think, responsible for the production, like the
he had his hand in
sets
this
or something like that. He did a lot of the effects. He did the effects for this movie. And I thought to myself when I was looking at this, like, why? There's a lot of detail in these sets. Yeah.
That'll be on the Star.
I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Oh, God.
We should probably get a beer and discuss this.
Well, yeah.
Because I need to
anesthetize myself. We're going to take a break and look up some Roger Corman BS and some other things. And we'll be back with a beer in just a minute. See ya. And we are back with beer number two. That's going to be loud again. Who needs a bottle opener? Everybody okay?
There you go, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Okay, beer number two is also from Three Floyds Brewery, and this is their, it's not a flagship, but this is one of theirs that are really easy to find. They produce it all year round. It's called Gumball Head.
I'm curious as to the name, why it's called Gumball
Head. That's a great question. I don't know.
It's not normal.
It's not normal.
No, it says that right there, right in the...
that's their tagline. So Gumball Head says it has Amarillo hops in it, which are a citrusy kind of hop. IBUs are only 35.
Ooh, that is
the ABV. ABV.
How much ABV have you had?
ABV. Not enough for this film, that's for damn sure. Yeah. It's at 5.6, so it's a drinkable beer. I wouldn't quite call it a session, but it's one you could have a few of.
Oh, yeah, I could have a lot of these.
Yeah,
these
are it's a good, easy drinking beer. Boy, just put this on the table.
It's sweet. I think that's why.
It is sweet.
It leaves a sweet.
Yeah.
It says lemony on the bottle.
It says lemony, but it's very...
I got lemon for sure.
There's a mm-hmm. candy after flavor to mm-hmm. it. Like, I think that's why.
Gumball.
Could be. Yeah, sure.
Hmm.
So, with wheat beers are related to Belgians, are related to Hefeweizens, are related to wit beers. And depending upon the strain of yeast you use, you can get things like bananas... cloves and even a little bit of bubblegum. Sometimes you can, with that anise wrapped around maybe an orange peel, you can get a little bubblegum out of that. Usually if it's a predominant bubblegum, it's a bad thing. That's an off flavor that is usually not wanted in beer.
What is that generally associated with?
There's some sort of infection,
is wrong with it.
It's not going to kill you. You can still drink the
thing. But there's something wrong with it? Like,
correct. Okay. There is some sort of a... It's not an ingredient thing. It is some sort of an infection.
Okay.
And there are lots of off flavors. Different infections can cause different off flavors. Cardboard is usually a sign of age.
Horse blanket.
Horse blanket can be appropriate in many of the say songs.
It tastes like a horse blanket.
It just does.
It makes me.
Which is weird because it makes you go, "Who licked a horse blanket?" Yeah, that's like, that this is what it tastes like.
Delicious.
And how long did it take for those two things to come together? Like somebody who drinks beer, like makes beer, and somebody who licks horse blankets. At some point, like during history, those two kinds of people had to meet,
right.
And they're tasting this beer. Like,
and
you know
if
what?
I am not either of these people. Why is it that I would know that? Like, that's the question I ask every time we've had some of those like silly jelly beans that are like, you know, it tastes like earwax or it tastes like this, and it's like. Okay, I don't eat earwax. How do I know? As soon as I eat this, I'm like, yep, that's earwax. Like, what? How does that?
Somebody, some poor dick somewhere in a testing lab has to sit there and, like, taste vomit and
which
earwax.
I get. But he signed up for that. But I didn't. So why do I also know that's what it tastes like?
You put
that's
the jelly bean in your mouth, it's your own damn fault. There's true. Also the power of persuasion. This
and
tastes
suggestion.
Like vomit.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Totally.
This smells that's terrible. Like, smell this.
We have one of our neighbors gave Millie this game at Halloween that's called Bean Boozled, and it has all of those Jelly Belly jelly beans in it that are like, so it has like five different flavors of jelly or five different visual looks of jelly beans, mm-hmm. but 10 different flavors.
Oh my.
And so one is buttered popcorn. A bean that looks exactly the same is also earwax. So you spin this little spinner and it shows you the picture of the bean you're supposed to pick, and then you just pick from a mishmash thing to see what you get.
That sounds like a terrible
game. Like, okay.
Hilarious to watch other people play.
Yes.
I enjoyed it immensely when Millie and Troy played it.
I got one that had to be, it was either going to be chocolate pudding or dog food, wet dog food. I got the wet dog food.
Oh, that's okay.
And there was
it's
a,
not okay.
There's a picture of my face that tells me
I've
how
seen
not
it, and it's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, but not all dog foods are alike. I mean, if we're talking of, like, Alpo or... Anyway, sorry.
Are you a connoisseur, Dave?
I may or may not have actually voluntarily eaten dog food at some point in my life. But that is a story for another time. And now none of you can not know that.
That's fine.
And neither can anybody else.
Yes,
I feel
how
that
you can stretch a dollar when.
yeah. My mom grew up down the street from a family that had 9 kids, and they had a big like tin in their pantry that was the snack tin, and the kids would just come in when they needed a snack and grab a handful, and it was totally dry dog food, and the mom made no bones about it that's what it was. She'd buy a big thing of dip, pour it in, and the kids just and it.
So just eating kibble? I mean,
yeah,
oh my
like,
God.
If they wanted a snack between meals, because she had 9 kids and
Rover,
she
come in, it's time for dinner. Spot, get your sister.
Hanging out in the house and whatever. So it was whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? 9 kids, I'm sure, would make you do a lot of things that you would not normally consider. Running away would be the first thing. That I could, you know, like
ever using a rubber?
Yeah, prophylactics.
Those are my pants.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, like, you would think that after the third, maybe, she would think that, you know, maybe I should stop treating my vagina like a clown car.
I like how you think that this woman in the 1950s had an option.
Oh, this is the 50s.
When my mother was a child.
Oh, sorry. I did not put that. I forgot that
so
conveniently. Oh, gosh.
So,
but anyway.
Everybody likes the gumball head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
good.
This a lot.
It's tasty.
Is that what we were talking about?
Well, yeah, that's where it started.
Started and then devolved from horse blankets into jelly beans and dogs.
And suddenly in vagina clown cars.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Yeah, this is good. It's supposed to be wheat beer. I don't know about.
It's a wheat beer. It's a light beer.
Doesn't taste very wheat beery to me. Usually that's a little bit more dry.
Creamy and dry, like sort of. I know what you're talking about.
But it's good. I prefer this to a wheat beer, to be honest. I'm not a big, giant wheat beer fan. I could do it sometimes.
It is much
hoppier.
I don't
need to, like, squeeze a orange into it to make it taste
right.
good.
Yeah, it didn't smell like or taste like the milk at the end of a bowl of Fruity Pebbles.
That's delicious, though.
I do like the milk at the end of a bowl of Fruity Pebbles.
Mm-hmm. Right, I do, too. Mm-hmm. Or Fruit Loops or whatever.
Well, like many beer styles,
they're Yabba Dabba
wheat
delicious.
Beers, all the flavors of the rainbow. There's right. all sorts of things going on, depending upon what part of the country you're in and what the what the style of the time was. You know, some wheat beers wear onions around their belt.
What? Apparently in Muncie, Indiana.
Jody will get that one.
Wait, well, you know, I feel like I need an explanation about the onions around the belt and the Muncie.
That was the style at the time.
Okay.
Grandpa Simpson's.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I remember that. I know what you're saying now that you say that.
This is much, much hoppier than most of the wheat beers that I...
The description said that there was a bountiful amount of Amarillo hops in it. So That's where probably we're getting the... Okay. Lemon from, and...
Amarillo hop sounds like a professional poker player.
Well, on the side of the bottom, yeah, it does. Probably somebody who would hang out with Space Cowboy. Yeah. The side of the bottle says... Sorry. That it's red wheat. So is that different than, like you... I mean, obviously, it's red, so it's, like, an obviously specific... type of wheat, but is that what's commonly used in a wheat beer, or is it more like a white, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Red wheat is a different variety, and I don't know if it's part of the kilning process,
right,
the malting process, but yeah, there are very different grains when you have just a regular wheat and you have a red wheat. They have very different flavors. I can't think of exactly what the differences are, but I remember the first time I tried just red wheat, because you, when you go into the brew store, you want to try your grains and kind of guess what your beer is going to turn out to be. And I really, really liked the red grains. So all my wheat beers, including the one I brought to G-Fest that was a big hit, has red wheat in it.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's part of the difference for you, Troy, as someone who doesn't normally like a wheat beer, is if most of the experience you have is with a white wheat versus a red.
I can see that.
So it's like clam chowder, the white or the red?
White. Always.
You know what? Not all my jokes can be great. Sorry. That was really terrible.
Keep swinging for the fences.
That one. Gross, so.
Oh, I like clam chowder.
You're weird.
I'll admit, that's fine.
Okay, so let's wrap this up by giving our six-pack rating, if we could. Kathleen, you didn't even see the whole film.
This is a true story. You know, most of in the other films, when I have fallen asleep, when I wake up, because I always fall asleep on the couch, and then I have to wake up to go upstairs, go to bed, or like the next day when I think about it, I have a modicum of guilt that this is my assignment and I am participating, and if I'm not going to, you know, if I'm going to participate, I need to actually watch the film. No fucking guilt whatsoever. Not only did I not just, do I not feel guilty that I fell asleep during this, as I stated before, I actively chose to close the book, lay down, and give up with this movie. So I am at a solid 6 and a bomber if I have to go through to see this movie again. Man.
Wow.
It's not...
Okay.
It's
that's acceptable.
So horrible.
That's all right. Troy, what do you think, bud?
Yeah, you mentioned that Kathleen fell asleep in this. I'm like, she's the lucky one.
This was... You could have quit.
I know.
We were watching it together.
I was invested. I had to see if there was anything that redeemed it. There wasn't. I this is the first time I've ever gone through it. I'm like, wow, that was one I would want back. I want those 2 hours back.
And you'd seen the movie before.
I'd seen the movie before, but I was, you know, 8, you know? Right, yeah. It was pretty good at 8.
Right.
It is no longer pretty good. It's pretty bad.
You're dumb at 8.
Yeah, exactly. I used to like Different Strokes. You ever watch Different Strokes? It doesn't hold up. It does not work anymore.
I actually, interestingly enough...
What you talk about, Willie?
It was only a matter of time. I'm glad it was you. But I, not long ago, I tried to rewatch one of the original He-Man and the Masters of the Universe Filmation productions.
Oh, yeah. God.
And I was like, this is 100% unwatchable. I can't, like, it's a struggle to watch any of it. Like, I turned it off, I think, after about not even 5 minutes. I'm like,
this. Like the little cartoons?
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, the wake up, I went tried to go back to watch The Greatest American Hero, which was like my favorite TV show.
It was awesome.
And the first season came out on DVD. I was like, oh, I get to watch that again. I can't wait. And I ran and I got it. And I put that first one in. I did not make it halfway through the pilot. I'm like, maybe the show is better. I put on the first one of the series. Nope.
No.
It's terrible from start to finish. It was just, so your tastes change.
Yeah.
This is six. This is six.
Solidly a six, huh?
Easily six. We should go to a higher count because, like, beers and I might still, some of them might seep through.
Yeah.
Six, we had that conversation once. I think we're going to keep it at six, but I'll tend to agree that, you know, the movies that we do here, usually there is some sort of redeeming fact. There's some sort of fun factor, no matter how bad they are. Hawk the Slayer, terrible film. I thought it was hilarious.
I really enjoyed Hawk the Slayer.
Even Gator, we had a great boat chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a positive. The rest of the movie's a turd, but it was a super.
Burt Reynolds' giggle is also pretty good, too.
This is true. This is true.
What is that again? How does the giggle go?
Burt Reynolds.
Well done, Troy.
I wanted that so
special
badly.
Special effects by Troy Carlson. Or sound effects. Nah, whatever. So there was nothing about this film was fun.
No.
Nothing about this film was redeeming. Nothing made me go, oh, that was interesting. Oh, they did that well. They did nothing. They failed at every possible turn.
Yep.
And I was texting you guys as I'm watching it.
Yeah, you were giving us almost a play.
I had a beer before I watched it because I think at work I maybe watched the first 5 minutes and went, I can't do this at work. So I had a beer before just to get lubed.
Yeah.
And then I had two more beers in the first like 15 minutes and I switched to tequila.
Yeah, I know. That was like 3 days before we watched the movie, and I'm like reading these messages on the trail. I was like, I don't have high hopes for this. Pete has switched to liquor, and he's like, oh.
So I usually surpass the six beer limit, and it may have been like a four tequila.
And it didn't help, folks.
And it didn't. Oh God, no. You know, blissful oblivion was the only thing that could have made this any better had I passed out at the end. I've got it. Oh, I didn't do this before. What the hell was it? I was like, shit, getting drunk. How the fuck is there 15 minutes left in this movie? That was the last coherent thing I wrote, except fuck you movie at the very end. So...
fuck you movie. Why do I see you doing this sustained like Pete, in typical Pete fashion, just spazzing out like fuck you movie.
Dave, you got anything good to say about this?
No. And I chose this freaking pulsating tumor of a movie, and I unleashed it upon the unhappy cast of Good Beer Bad Movie Night, and for that I apologize, and I have paid. I am very sorry. Solidly six, and that is including the fact that something we didn't actually mention. Did you notice any familiar sound effects?
I thought every time the doors opened, it was Darth Vader breathing.
Yes.
And
I thought that too.
I thought a lot of the soundtrack was straight out of a James Bond movie.
Quite possibly. It was actually, the composer was James Horner.
Oh, okay.
Which
holy
is,
shit.
Yes. His first, like, I think it was his first big composition job for a movie, like, as the composer. And the effect, what was it? What, I think James Cameron, this is, like, what kind of got him introduced to, like, the production.
Art direction, right?
He was the art director.
Right.
He was one of the art directors, yeah.
Because I remember thinking like during this movie, like, okay.
So he is responsible for the uterine ship.
We want a ship, but I want to make it look like a woman's junk.
The SS birth canal is how I wrote it.
That's hilarious. I drew a very sad picture. I was like,
But no, I did notice that there was actually a very high quality of the models and the effects for the time. I mean, they were just as they held up to just about anything else at the time. But in the sound effects, I kept hearing the sound. Like, that's a Star Trek sound. I swear to God it is. And I looked it up, and it was the same sound engineer as they recycled some of the sound effects from Star Trek: The Motion Picture, like the phaser sounds and stuff like that.
Okay,
I'm like, okay, that's cool.
I thought maybe Battlestar Galactica 2 with the spaceship pew pew pew.
Possibly,
there was
yeah.
a lot of that.
Right, but even knowing that stuff, like as interesting with sort of cinematic curios, six. Fuck this movie. Fuck it directly in its butt.
Wow.
I hate. And what makes what actually offends me is that I can watch a bad movie and like it. I watched this bad movie and hated it because of essentially one that it was a ripoff to. It was a really not artfully done ripoff. Like if it was not even close to anything that could be considered a genuine and earnest attempt at making a good movie.
Wow.
It was just.
Now you know how I feel every month.
I have a newfound sympathy. And also, like, a sort of a rapidly growing sense of guilt.
Across the board, we have sixes then.
Yeah.
And it's not getting any better come December because we are putting our nose to the grindstone. We're going to put out two episodes in December, including some pile of shit that Kathleen...
Well, hold on a second.
Oh no, this is all you, babe.
Well, don't try to dodge us.
In all fairness, we were at a Halloween themed birthday party a few weeks ago as a group.
Alcohol fueled.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And it was actually Dave's dear wife, Donna, who made the suggestion that for a Christmas movie, we should do a Hallmark. Oh. Christmas movie.
I'm going to have a little talk with my wife.
I did go, yes, that's a great idea, because that's hilarious. So, I fully supported it, but it was not my idea. And then we started looking up options, and I started shouting out titles, because we went to, like, the Hallmark Facebook page, basically, and, like, I just started shouting out titles of things. And as soon as I said that... I would say the title of a movie and then like the first two actors who were listed with it, because I was looking at like the movie poster. So you would just see like either see the people or see their names.
Like top billed.
Right. And as soon as I said the title of the movie and then followed it up with the two actors, which are Crystal Bernard and Steve Guttenberg, Pete was the one who went, yes, that one.
Son of a
so
bitch.
Let's
Don't you drag me down with you.
Okay, admittedly, Pete and I were at this party as well, and I do remember Pete saying this now, that you're bringing it up.
We were standing right there.
And I feel like maybe there's some buyer's remorse, Pete.
Well, here's the thing, because I thought this was a good idea, but I was all about the James Vanderbeek one. Like, I was like, let's do the one with Dawson in it. But I got outvoted. We went for Steve Guttenberg and said, so the title of the movie we're going to watch is, refresh me.
Single Santa meets...
Mrs. Claus.
Or
Seeking Mrs. Claus.
Oh, no, you're going to have to stop and say that title again for everybody to hear it.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe that that's actually
Single Santa...
No, I think it's just Seek...
Single Santa Seeks...
We're doing a great job
Mrs.
with this, let me
Claus,
tell you.
Claus, or something like that.
I need to hear this, just to know that it exists, so it can sort of congeal
in
my mind.
So, I've always known that, like, Hallmark does all these Christmas movies, and, like, it's become a thing that's, like, bigger and bigger over the last few years. And part of the reason that this came up in conversation at the party was the fact that I've had friends who are, like, counting down.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Who
people
are
want
like,
this?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Who are like, I can't wait until we can see, blah, blah, blah.
Are they anticipating the joke factor, or they really enjoy
I think it's a little bit
garbage.
Of both. I think it's the concept of, like, a beach read book. But it's a movie that you have on in the background where everything happening in the movie is festive, and it's like you're putting up your Christmas tree and you have this festive movie on or whatever.
I watch Godzilla movies when I put up the Christmas tree.
Right. Okay. That's what I think it is. This is the Godzilla movie for everybody else. I think is what it kind of boils down to. And so when we first started talking about this, and like, you know, I was talking about how I had friends and people on social media you'll see or whatever. So this movie that we're watching is a few years old. Like, you got it from the library.
Yeah, I got it from the library.
And so, like, it's a few years old.
Yeah.
But currently, since November 1st, two channels, the Hallmark Channel and the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries channel have been running 24/7 Christmas films.
Uh-huh.
Every day.
Egad.
All, like, I was like, how many of these movies can there possibly be? But they're like, because I've got, we leave our TV kind of set to a, what I consider to be child safe mm-hmm. channel, so that if Millie goes downstairs and turns the TV on, she's not accidentally turning on to some violent thing.
Or like the Hustler channel or something like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a Quentin Tarantino movie marathon.
That's on Troy's right. favorites. Hustler, there it is. Yeah.
So like PBS, I usually leave it on
Christian
like
channel,
HGTV Hustler. Or something right. like that, so that it's like, you know, I don't have to worry about some violent movie being on or whatever that she sees some flash of while she's getting to Netflix, because that's her preferred channel is Netflix. Mm-hmm. So, but I flipped it to this Hallmark thing, mm-hmm. and every time the TV comes on, and I'll like scan through the thing a little bit, and it's like, yeah, every movie is a Christmas movie. So,
do you know any of the titles? Because I kind of need to know these titles now.
There are things like, you know, A Wish Before Christmas. Or,
oh, God, I've heard that.
Like, A Wish Before Christmas.
Yeah, or like Finding Mistletoe. Or, and there's a lot of them that are like a Scrooge ripoff. There's right. tons of like different versions
Carol,
of
Charles Dickens.
Christmas Carol, yeah. Dickens.
Retelling of Dickens, yeah.
You know, that there's a lot of, for some reason, someone in the movie has lost their Christmas spirit.
Oh,
and they meet someone who brings it back to them for whatever reason.
You're like, oh, I hate you know, Christmas.
There's yeah. a lot of people. There's a lot of people who just don't see the point in Christmas. It's just another day, and mm. they have to be convinced that it's not. You know, it's like that kind of stuff. So
it's like a Scrooge, like Mr. Cratchit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's there's a lot that are like a true kind of retelling of the Dickens story, mm-hmm. and then there are a lot that are a loosely based version right. where there's a Scrooge type character.
Would you? I've so, pulled up the playlist for the Hallmark Channel on my no, phone.
Stop I that. I feel like I need to hear it now.
Just a couple.
Sure.
A Princess for Christmas.
A Princess for Christmas.
Yep.
Fuck that in the butthole.
A Song for Christmas.
Maybe. Okay, all right. That's non stupid, but whatever.
Finding Father Christmas.
Finding Father Christmas.
Engaging Father Christmas.
I'm going to go with that's a sequel to the first one. Yeah.
The Christmas Ornaments.
Finding and then engaging, and what is the next logical one in the sequence? After
divorcing
you've engaged him,
Father Christmas.
Yeah,
no, 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 no.
Like a loveless marriage with Father Christmas where you're sitting there on Sunday clipping Christmas. Coupons or something.
You can't have those kind of movies, though, because it's all... Everything is tied up in a bow, and everyone's in love. And
it's Christmas. Yeah. It's tied up in a bow.
Right.
A grandpa for Christmas.
Oh, a grandpa gross. For Christmas? I did not realize that grandparents were movie. Distributed
Single
as gifts.
Single Santa seeks Mrs. Claus.
So you could run right upstairs and watch that today. It's going to be on TV.
I could also pee into a bucket and drown myself in it.
It's a lot of pee.
Only takes 3 inches.
Okay. That's all they've got.
Oh God! You oh that was teed up so well. Oh my Jesus Christ!
That's my joke. I find it the funniest.
Oh, I'm a penis.
Oh my God. That was awesome.
Folks, you actually just missed it. Like Kathleen almost spewed beer all over her husband.
You almost got a beer shower.
Single Santa seeking
Mrs. Claus.
Mrs. Claus.
That title
yeah.
alone makes me nauseous.
And we might have a special game to play while we're doing it, too. So
yes.
We'll be recording that pretty quick. Not today.
Playing a game before the movie? What?
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Okay,
that's it. Off camera.
Okay, sorry. Camera? No, okay. No.
Yeah. Apparently,
yes,
I don't.
What else we haven't told you?
I don't know how. This
we
works.
Drink during this podcast. Did you guys know that?
Okay. So that's everybody unanimous. The first unanimous film. Of no less than 6 beers. Battle Beyond the Stars. Yeah. You can go choke. Kathleen, we're going to wrap this up, so let us know where folks are, our listener, can go to find us.
Our dear listener, we love you so, is how welcome to...
How are you today?
Yes, how are you tonight?
Hi, Mom.
How do you find the Christmas season?
No, my mom doesn't even listen to this. No. No, not at all.
No, none of our moms should be listening to this one.
Should, yeah, definitely not should.
Yeah. You can find us at Instagram, at Twitter, or you can email us at GBBMN podcast. I was like, did I say the N?
Yeah, yeah.
I almost repeated it on Instagram, on Twitter, or at Gmail. And then you can always find us at Good Beer Bad Movie Night on the Facebooks.
On the Facebooks. We've had a little traffic on the Facebooks, so that's fun. We have like a listener and a half. It's always good to know.
And we are streaming on iTunes, so if you do discover us through whatever podcatcher it is that you use, if you could then also go back into iTunes and rate us and review us, because the more ratings and reviews that we get, that pushes us up the chain more so that more people can find us. So even if you don't particularly care for us, somebody else might.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, if you would rate us highly, that would be awesome, but we understand. Seriously.
Yeah, I wouldn't rate us highly.
Just remember, you don't have to watch these movies that we watch. Right. So.
This is a public service announcement.
Right.
We're doing this for your benefit.
Right. You get watch all these of the joy. Stinkers.
Well, no, technically, yeah, Phil.
Hi.
There's not. I don't even. Okay. Anyway, Pete.
Phil. Beer is good.
Phil's no longer with us.
Dave's not here, man.
Drinking is fun.
Day's over, man.
Please give us a good rating. But if you don't give us a good rating, I get it. We all get it.
Yeah, we're there.
Just rate us. Doesn't suck.
There you go. Yeah.
I think we're good for 3 out of 5.
Equitable to the movies they watch.
Yeah.
Think of the stars as our 6-pack rating system.
That's right.
Rate us higher for the amount of stars that you would need to see when people were banging you over the head. How many stars would you need to see? But you're like, all right, well, this is a good beer, bad movie.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fantastic. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next time.
Show enough.
Ha! Stupid. Fuck, I need a beer so bad.